You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
.707 in the morning. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. Local news and talk. Remember, we got an honor flight party fundraiser going on August 17th at Westward Look Resort, 5 p.m. start. Please join us. You must RSVP. If you're not on the list, you're not coming in. Payable at the door, $45. Dinner, dancing. Danny Sawaya is going to bench press Matt Neely in the courtyard of the Westward Look as part of it. So he's taking pledges, $50 for each lift of Matt Neely. So, and Matt has is promising to wear his Speedo and his tank top, so it should be
good. Wow, you got a Speedo?
Yeah, well, according to Chris.
And Ted Maxwell's coming on after moi on Jump In. The Marana mayor, the mayor of the best town in southern Arizona, will be on with him, Edward Honey. That's right. So, who's going to be owing me lunch in about 3 weeks. love you, buddy. Yesterday, I was the honored guest of the Tucson Republican Women's Club, and one of the principals over there, our friend Ann Hollis, was she did a great discussion about how to send in your ballot in the cleanest way possible so it gets accepted without any horse crap. And I asked her to call in. So, Ann Hollis, good morning, young lady. How are you?
I'm fine, Chris. Thanks for having me on. So, this is just a reminder to everybody, and it's not just the mail-in ballots. It could happen in the few minutes you're sitting in a polling station, but it seems like when a ballot is in front of you for 4 weeks, people have the tendency to put more into it than they need to. It would be great if people focused on what candidates they want to choose, but doodling on your ballot is not a good idea. Those little ticks on the side that everybody thinks might not be important, those are timing markers that help the machine read the ballot. So don't connect the dots. Don't use the ballot to make your pen work. Extraneous marks will confuse the tabulation machine. The latest thing I saw as an observer this year is there are people who are actually trimming off those timing marks. And when you do
Hold on. They're trimming them off?
Yes.
Well, so they have a knife or scissor in the ballot box with them or something?
This is at home. They're doing it at home.
Oh.
And they've got loads of time on their hands. apparently, they took scissors and cut it, and not even very cleanly, but it was very obviously scissors. But that means the ballot can't be run through the machine. And when that happens, when the ballot is physically damaged, it has to be taken through a duplication process, and you have two people, one Republican, one Democrat, or two different parties, and they have to redo the entire ballot, which in a primary is simpler, but in a general election takes a lot longer.
Well, especially with the one coming up with 27 ballot propositions on it.
Yes, and the judges. Don't forget the judges.
Correct.
And all the school board people who are not primaried. Yes. So your ballot at home, you need to treat it with the importance that it has. And if you have extra time, instead of doodling on the ballot, please just look up the candidates to better go down ballot and vote all the different offices. One of the new things that I saw this year that I've not seen before is there are people who are filling in the bubble on their favorite candidate, which is good, but then they go to the write-in line. They fill in that bubble, and then they write the name of that candidate. Now, I've heard lawyers talk about this. It's either emphasizing, this is my guy, or some wonder if the voter is trying to force the tabulation machine to count twice for a candidate. Well, what the machine sees is it looks like it's an overvote, so it has to go to people, again, one of two people, one from a different party, each from a different party, to evaluate the voter's intent.
Yeah, this part crushed me because when I put Ed Alexander or Mickey Mouse or, you know, Chewbacca as my write-in bandit, you're telling me I'm putting my ballot through extra things that it doesn't need to go through, right?
That's right. And so it's called an adjudication board. And again, two people, they evaluate just that race that you do that to. And they have to evaluate, okay, is this voter's intent? Right now, it'll say, okay, you really like this candidate, so we're going to count it as a vote for the candidate, as opposed to how the tabulation machine reads it, which is an overvote. And if you can only vote for one candidate, the machine thinks you're voting for two. And if it's judged later that, yeah, you voted for two people when you only vote for one, that vote doesn't count at all. But you have people evaluate, and then so once they decide, okay, the voter seems to really like this candidate, so it's not an overvote. If they really like this candidate, we count it as a vote.
All right, so
That's the first time it's evaluated.
Oh, my and Lord.
And then that vote gets evaluated by another group of people, a pair, one from each party. And then there are different wickets that every time you, let's say, mess with your vote, it gets evaluated multiple times. And that's if you didn't damage it, and it has to be completely redone on another form.
Oh, my Lord.
So this is just one vote. Now, one of the things I saw this year, just a couple days ago, was a person took a lot of time on his ballot, and he voted down ballot, and very good voter, congratulations. But he did this on every single vote. So he highlighted, he filled in the bubble, and you fill in the bubble, folks. Please don't put a check mark or an X.
It's amazing how we have to teach Americans how to fill out their ballot.
Right, and then he added his or hers, I don't know, a write-in for every single vote. And so there were even some sections that were vote for three. He dutifully voted for three. And then he also voted on the write-ins, three people, the same names. So the board's going to err on the side of this voter really believes in what he's doing. But if you can only vote for one, and you vote for one, and then you go down to the write-in, and you put in another name, it will count as an overvote. That you cannot vote for more than you are allowed for each race.
All right, Ann. So what I want you to do is give the listeners, before we I got to go to break soon, tell us about, give me a summary of what not to do with your, give everyone real quick, under 30 seconds, what not to do with your ballot.
Follow the directions.
Follow the simple directions.
Yes.
Just fill out circles and that's it. And for God's sakes, stop trimming your ballot with your scissors.
Right.
It's a scantron.
You know, she was saying this yesterday at the luncheon. I'm like, well, this, I know this is really basic crap, but I know a bunch of us are doing it, so stop it.
Right.
And thanks for the knowledge as always. And it was great seeing you and the Republican ladies yesterday at lunch. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thank you, Chris.
Have a great day. Ann Hollis, Tucson Republican Women's Club. 7:16 in the morning. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 of the Voice, local news and talk. I got one mild rant I want to do, and then we'll get into Spencer Tracy movies with our good friend Mark.
A mild rant? Is there such a thing?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I remember when the lady from The Simpsons, the organist at church, tried to play the She was doing this on her organ, and then she collapses at the end doing Inagata Davida. But I want to do the Rocco's commercial for it. Wanna eat some pizza, baby?
The famous radio "Go to the Bathroom" song,
1968 election playlist. Here we go. Ah, the Beatles. 7:22 in the morning. The
isn't it amazing that McCartney can't read music? I mean, when I first heard that, I think I heard it on Howard Stern, actually. But right. When I first heard that, I was just amazed that this guy, who is so prolific in music, doesn't read it.
Was this interview before or after Butt Bongo Fiesta?
I don't recall.
Oh, okay.
It was on the same show.
No, it is.
I mean, it's amazing that you could be that talented and just do it a different way.
That's true.
It's amazing.
Let's get Windows on the show. Windows, welcome to the show. You're on with Chris and Mark. What's up, my friend?
Good morning, Chris. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
Wings. I'm a huge Wings fan.
Me too.
I burned that first album up, man. I just totally wore it out.
I like the ones at Rocco's.
I was 9 when Wings came out, so I was more exposed to it. But I remember the Beatles. Beatles, I remember. But
so real
Chris,
quick,
did you get my email.
So this is what. So he said. So what I'm trying to figure out. Quint Windows sends me a picture of best use of a Democrat campaign sign, and it's one of those shopping carts.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And they took. Uh-huh. It says Democrat. I can see it. Right.
Yeah.
And I don't know who signed. Do you know who signed that is?
No, I was hoping you could spot. I do, Chris. I'm trying to like do a stealth photo without being attacked by like 10 homeless people.
I know. And so they took their wire basket shopping cart.
Right.
That's the car, you know, the little pull along one that the grandma.
Yeah, with the two wheels.
The two wheels, exactly.
Yeah. My grandfather had one.
And they lined the bottom of their cart with a campaign sign.
Nice.
And more like braced or fortified.
Yeah, so you can see. Well, you don't want the fentanyl to fall through the grating.
Chris, he was going to church to get food.
Okay, good. God bless him.
Yeah, I know. He's just an older gentleman that's kind of out. I'll put it like this, Chris, because you can't judge any of these people if you're going to be a real Christian. He's just kind of down on your luck, but he's not a menace to society. Because that's what all these people are, is literally they are a public menace on all fronts.
So
am I wrong?
Not all of them, but most of them.
Wrong. I don't think he's wrong.
Okay.
To say 100% are a public menace,
yeah, I think it's close to 97%.
95.
I think 95. So Gary D. Davidson said it right. This is several months ago. I think it was Gary, if I didn't say it right, I apologize. But, it's the mayor just wants to say they're just that down on their luck person who got outpriced of their rental. And blah blah blah. Well, really, a lot of these people are hooked on drugs, right? Like 98% mm-hmm. of them are hooked on drugs,
mm-hmm.
right? And then 90% of those 98 are actively robbing others or doing illegal mm-hmm. acts to feed their drug mm-hmm. habit,
right?
Property crime, Chris. Property crime too.
But that's what I'm saying. They're doing illegal and bad things to feed their habit. That's where we're at. So when the mayor goes, they always say, it's the single mom with the two kids who couldn't afford their rent. Bullcrap.
Well, isn't it funny? Because if you go back into the 50s and 60s, what did we have? We had hobos on the outside of town, and they had a little campfire or whatever, right?
Hobos work, though.
But hobos, they didn't commit crimes for the most part, right? And now transition to what we have today, it's ridiculous. I mean, they're all committing crimes.
You are correct.
May I interject?
Sure.
Yes, Christopher.
See, he's right. But now Mayberry is gone. Now we have Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome.
Big time.
And Chris, on the other picture, the camping at Plissken, I took that one this morning at about 6 a.m. where the guy's covered in clear. It looks like he's saran wrapped on the sidewalk. Did you see that one?
I'm showing it to Mark right now. So the guy is sleeping against the building.
And it's over his head, so you could... commit suicide.
So he has his shoes off because he doesn't like sleeping with his shoes on. But he, Matt, he has literally covered himself in just a plastic sheet.
Chris, could it be a Lindell light? Could
you stop. Be pillow stop cover? With your Lindell. Stop with your Lindell killings. So yeah, that's where you're at. Well, Chris, thanks for
and
your investigator.
Chris,
yes.
Chris, remember
one more thing.
Plissken, too tough for McGruff.
That's right.
And then the new advertising for Plissken is dare ya. God bless and Godspeed.
You know, Matt, I think Chris has inspired me before we get to Mark's movies. In the next break, it's time to whip out the Plissken Acres Convention and Visitor Bureau ad.
Okay. I'll send it to you. I think I can find it.
But. Okay.
Hey, we got a caller. What's the, you read the Blueprint Home Services number?
So I know there's the number on the, on their Wastebook page, but it's, you want to do 525-2555, Blueprint Home Services, if you're having roof or structural problems right now. They also do solar if you want to do that, but if you're having problems with your roof because of the rain and the storms and all that jazz, call Daniel and the crew, 525-2555. They helped me with my tile roof and not only replaced it and did it upright, they also kind of re-engineered it better. So when it does rain, water is just not slopping over my fascia and it's, you know, not touching the fascia at much at all and, you know, landing on the proper flashing and going where it needs to go as fast as possible. So 525-2555. All right, we come back before we get the mark. And sorry, buddy.
Now you've said this three times. I'm going to be here till 9:30.
You, Mayor Ed and Ted Maxwell are going to be doing the top 10 Spencer Tracy movies. We're going to do the, I want to play, Chris has inspired it. It's time to bring it back. Greg, our amazing ops manager and creative guy here.
I remember.
Did the amazing Plissken Acres tourism commercial. So we'll do that when we come back. I think that's appropriate after he showed us the Democrat sign being used as a liner for a homeless guy's cart and a young man who covered himself in some sort of clear plastic while he's sleeping against probably one of the lucky wishbones in the Midtown area. Here we go. 1968. Aretha Franklin, one of the greatest singers ever, doing a song called Think. This wasn't bad
in Blues Brothers either.
You are correct. Wake up, Tucson. Is Spencer Tracy in Blue Brothers?
No.
Blues? Oh, okay.
No.
Wake up, Tucson. All right. Now, when was stats showing that 43.7% of all Suntran riders are on some sort of hallucinogenic drug, it really is a magic
bus. I find it amazing that
Mark Van Buren, by the way.
The mayor and council think that, you know, the free bus is such a great thing. When's the last time they rode the bus? I dare them to get on the bus, right?
Yeah.
With all those lovely people on there.
So again, if you missed Danny Sawaya with his friend Josh Hanna from Caring Ministries last week, and Caring Ministries have been working with the poor, hungry, and unclothed of Tucson for about 35 years.
Yeah.
When I asked him about the magic bus, the Suntran, the mayor's free crime bus, he's like, "Look, it spreads the crime around, but really it's the number one motorized distribution system for the over-prevalent drug problem in Tucson,
no
Arizona.
No question about it.
All your best traffickers are getting their stuff out there through the bus." So
you gotta love it.
And here's the thing. This is why Raheena Romero and their friends are such jackasses, okay? It's been said before, you can keep it free, just go back to the pass system.
Right.
Right? You have to, if you're someone who really needs the bus, you go to a ward office, you show them your ID, and here's your pass with your name that you can get on the bus for free.
Yeah, and it shuts all that other stuff down.
Yes, in 3 seconds.
I know. Well, they just don't want to do it.
That's why. As Yoda once said in Star Wars,
this is why you fail.
7:36 in the morning. So Chris from Chris Windows XP was talking about the political sign that was used for a liner for a shopping cart by the folks. So I think it's time to bring the Plissken Acres Convention and Visitors Bureau. This is a big sizzle reel. Mark and I are in tourism.
Yeah, exactly.
This could be one of the most, I think, best Visitors Bureau commercials.
I love it.
ever done. So
I really like Spencer Tracy's role in this one.
Well,
too.
We're negotiating with do a hologram with him for the next one, but his family doesn't want him in a hologram of him wearing a Kevlar vest. So we're working on it. Let's go to the Pliskin Acres.
The future looks bright in Pliskin Acres. Pliskin Acres is a dystopian hellscape whose residents thrive on public assistance. The sun-scorched homeless aimlessly wander Grant Road and Alvernon Way, screaming at imaginary foes. If you're in search of a title loan's vape or pawn shop, there's plenty to choose from. Fine dining can be found from Church's Chicken, Little Caesar's Pizza, and Burger King. Like Walgreens, Fry's abruptly abandoned Pliskin Acres. But Walmart Neighborhood Market is still holding on.
Brave.
Extra security staff is always on hand to prevent a startlingly high rate of beer runs. A recent TripAdvisor article heralded Pliskin Acres as a great destination for adventure. They say if you're looking for a taste of old Detroit, Newark, New Jersey, or Chicago while visiting the Southwest, you'll find it in Pliskin Acres. Weekend evenings are a real treat, with all 12 police officers on duty in the division, tied up with calls at the Section 8 housing all along Alvernon north of Grant. Are those illegal fireworks you hear, or some gunshots? Who knows? That's part of the fun. Coming soon to Pliskin Acres is the new Piazza di Alexandro, featuring new nail salons, discount dentistry, and you guessed it, even more title loan and vape shops. Thanks to investment by the Jalisco cartel and illegal THC vape cartridge sales, the future centerpiece of the Piazza di Alexandro will be an all-new fountain offering 24-hour bathing options for the homeless. Whoa. While it promises to be a breeding ground for hepatitis B, that shouldn't prevent you from enjoying the sunset while on a romantic stroll. Just bring your running shoes. You never know who might berate you in search of money or a cigarette. If you've grown tired of safe and sanitized suburbia, visit Pliskin Acres for a true taste of urban terror.
There it is. So
you know what makes that for me is Greg's voice is just so perfect, because it's, you know, it sells seriousness about this whole thing, and it just, it's perfect. It really is.
Because in that 3 minutes, it enumerates everything that's going on in the reality of Pliskin Acres.
Yep.
In this fun, you know, 50s style travelogue movie audio, in a way, right?
Exactly.
And it's just, it's Greg again. Yeah, let me give you the clap for this one, because he just nails it. And so that thing is, that's a 4-year-old video, audio. And it's still,
it holds up.
It's holding up.
Yeah.
Matt, what did Kevin Dahl say about the perpetrators of crime again in
perpetrators
in
of violent crime, Chris.
Violent
perpetrators of violent crime. They're the victims.
That's right. Thank you. after we do movies with Mark, so I can let this guy get on with his day, for God's sakes, I'm going to read you a letter from Jordana Carvalho. She is the former diversion program manager at the Pima County Attorney's Office, and a DEI woman of color, I think, takes Laura Conover to the playground to the woodshed. That's
nice.
Wait till I read that one to you. It's so good. All right, Mark, we're taking it. So give us a call, 790-2040. Bunker is totally screwed up right now.
I'm sure he is, and I'm going to really mess him up, because I did see a movie in the theater not too long ago, and the reason I haven't gone to the theater all that much lately is
COVID?
There's nothing in it.
No, I'm just
kidding. No, there's nothing
flirt.
In it, including there's flirt. No people in it. But
how are they paying the bills?
I have no idea. And the thing is, the industry's shooting themselves in the foot, because they're going to eliminate theaters, and it's just going to be all streaming stuff you watch on TV. But anyway.
I mean, they talked about Twisters made us $81 million last weekend in the theater, because there's nothing to watch in the summer.
I know. There's absolutely. Remember all those, you used to have summer blockbusters and things? They don't do that anymore.
I remember and Despicable Me 7, really took it home, brought the message home. So they're preying on this Wolverine and Deadpool movie coming out this weekend.
I know.
Gives them a little bit of love. That's about it.
We'll see. So, but anyway, Fly Me to the Moon, and I absolutely loved it. And for you conspiracy theorist people, you're gonna like it too, because I want to first say that this is not based on fact, okay? but it was the director and writer's viewpoint on what could have happened, and it's an alternative to the Apollo 11 moon landing. And it's a very, very interesting movie, and you got a great cast with Scarlett Johansson and Channing Tatum. Woody Harrelson is in it, and Ray Romano is in it as a tech at NASA.
Romano.
And is actually very good in it. He really and truly is. So it's definitely worth a look.
Ray Romano, Robert.
And 87% on Rotten Tomatoes by the viewers, okay? And they really, really liked it. Of course,
The
critics didn't like it, but I don't care. I liked it. I liked it a lot.
The critics at Rotten Tomatoes are just...
They're ridiculous.
So they're 66%.
Yeah.
And right now, currently, the audience is 91%.
Oh, it went up 4 points since I watched it. But it really is. It was entertaining. Scarlett Johansson is fun to watch, and it's well done. I mean, there's a lot of facts with the Apollo 11. I lived at Cape Canaveral. I live, you know, like a block from the front gates, and I know a lot about the area. And they were very true to form. They shot a lot of the footage there, and it was very well done.
I asked Mark if this was better than a previous Scarlett Johansson movie we watched together, which was Asteroid City. The one that scarred us.
The
last
one
summer.
That Matt's never seen but wants to. This was so much better. It was unbelievable. It was very entertaining throughout. It was one of those movies I was kind of disappointed when it was over, because I liked it that much.
Wanting to see this movie after what we've said, right? If someone thinks that, right?
Yeah.
I don't know who that'd be. But basically, it's the idea that you saw a rat get its neck stabbed in a rat trap.
Yeah.
And you said, you know, maybe I'm going to stick my finger in there and see if something different happens.
Hmm.
So just to let you know.
It's good. It's good.
Tell me about, before we go to break, give me a little overview of Spencer Tracy.
Spencer Tracy, very interesting guy. He was born in 1900.
Wow.
Okay, 1900. So he was in the Army in World War I, actually was stationed in Norfolk, and never saw any action. But he and his best friend, Pat O'Brien, were in the military together. The thing that I thought was kind of sad for him, he was married, and it wasn't a very happy marriage, and he was a devout Catholic. And he had a lifelong affair with Katharine Hepburn.
Yeah.
And they actually lived together, and but would never get married because he didn't believe in divorce because of his Catholic background.
Yep.
And that to me is just so sad. I mean, you know, you read about this and you go, really? What's going on here? And it was just a strange guy. But I just think people related to him. He did 75 feature films. He kind of was the average Joe kind of guy.
That's called a third of a cane.
Yeah, third of a kind. Michael Caine did a lot more. But anyway, I absolutely loved him. And I remember the first film I ever saw him in and kind of fell in love with his acting prowess was The Old Man and the Sea. And he played the fisherman. And he was just phenomenal in that. And I think he is just a great, great actor.
So in the hardware department, he was nominated 22 times and had 14 wins.
Right.
I mean... And he wasn't like the greatest looking guy. He was a nice looking guy.
No, I think he was an average Joe kind of guy. He had kind of like blocky shoulders, and he looked like the everyman type of person. But he played really dynamic characters, I think.
Love it. All right, we're going to start with number 10 when we come back from break, 7:46 in the morning. You're on with Chris DeSimone and the great Mark Van Buren, the movie guy. Wichita Lineman, 1968. You're on Wake Up.
I met Glenn Campbell.
You met everybody.
Nice guy.
You've been at Cape Canaveral. You met, you know. Have there been any commercials about like those Camp Lejeune ones? Did you live near Cape Canaveral and something happened to you?
No, I haven't had one of those yet.
All right.
Yeah.
Lawyers, you're slipping. Wake up. All right, little Stevie Wonder on a 1968 presidential election playlist. Richard Nixon defeated Hubert Humphrey that year and George Wallace.
I can't wait for my absinthe margarita.
Where is Maxwell with that damn plane? Checkers and I got to get to the couple of shows down in Tijuana like yesterday. Mark Van Buren, what's our number 10 Spencer Tracy movie?
Bad Day at Black Rock, done in 1955, the year before I was born.
Where's Kamoko?
Yeah, exactly. And you can see it on Roku. And what else was I going to say about this? Oh, the amazing thing about most older movies, movies that were shot in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, do very poorly on Rotten Tomatoes. As far as the percentage that they liked.
Yes.
And Spencer Tracy defies that because most of his movies are in the 90s and 80s, which really says that his movies hold up. And Bad Day at Black Rock is one of those movies. It was 97% by the reviewers on Rotten Tomatoes. And he plays a one-armed man who arrives in this small town of Black Rock to look for this local Japanese farmer whose name is what, Chris?
Kamoko.
Kamoko, right? And he's mysteriously disappeared. And this cast is incredible. I mean, for the day, think about it. Robert Ryan, Dean Jagger, Walter Brennan, Ernest Borgnine, and Lee Marvin are all in this movie.
Yeah.
And they're all covering something up. And Spencer Tracy's the guy who tries to uncover it all, peel back the onion, as it were. And it is, it's a mystery. And it also is, you know, it's... It kept me captivated the whole time I watched it.
And so what's interesting, so basically it's a very desolate town, right?
Yes.
I don't know if they ever say the state it's in, but it's somewhere in the California, Arizona,
right.
Nevada
right.
kind of world. And literally it's just, it's one of those small towns that's on a rail line.
Right. And right. he was nominated for Best Actor in this and lost out to Ernest Borgnine.
Marty.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So
again, he's great in this.
He is. He's
right.
fantastic.
And the amount of rear end that he kicks with one arm is amazing.
Well, when he's driving that car and they're chasing him and running him off the road and he's driving with one hand because he's only got one, it was a pretty amazing scene. Yeah.
No, it's, yeah. This one's pretty good. Let's sneak Bunker in before we go to break. Bunker, what's shaking, my friend?
Hey, you guys did a torpedo on me here.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but we know you'd rise to the occasion.
Well, I found out about 10 minutes ago. Before I get started, though, I want to just give a shout out for this Saturday, National Day of the Cowboy, down at the Empire Ranch. Come on down, everybody. Now, as long as you're doing Bad Day at Black Rock, let's get a little meat on this bone.
Okay.
Yes. Director John Sturges is directing it. Mm-hmm. It was based on a story called Bad Time at Honda, by Howard Breskin, which was published in American Magazine. Now, this is one of I'm going to get into the esoteria. John Idrisano, I don't know if you guys ever heard of him, but he was the stunt coordinator on the movie and also the judo instructor. And he had Roger Creed as Stacy's stunt double and also Kerry Laughlin as his fight double. And this is one of the greatest, I think, one of the greatest action movies of all time, even though it's nothing like Bruce Lee or like that. But Spencer Tracy, I think, for me, is probably the greatest American film actor.
Really?
The man played everything.
Yep.
Back when it first came on TV, I saw Northwest Passage, Book One in Rogers Rangers, and I saw this movie every time it came on TV. I watched it, and it wasn't until probably the 70s or 80s that I found out it was in color. That's how good it was in black and white. But and that's an interesting thing. You guys might experiment with that sometime. The old color movies that were played in black and white and was our first experiences with them. But it was directed by King Vidor, by Kenneth Roberts' novel, and that's one of my favorite novels, too. It's just awesome. But you had Spencer Tracy, Robert Young as a greenhorn in it, Walter Brennan as another greenhorn, with Ruth Hussey as the girl. And this is also a best Oscar cinematography nomination. And the thing about this movie, though, is it's the telling of Rogers Rangers opening up the territory of colonial America, going up into Canada like a bunch of Navy SEALs and taking out the Brits. But what's really riveting in this movie is the retreat going back. One man carrying a sack, which is, oh, nobody knows what's in it, is a human head that he's been gnawing on just to keep from starving to death. You know,
wow. That's, that'll wake you up in the morning.
That's gritty stuff. Now, my next one is...
You got about a minute just to let you tell you.
Okay. Broken Lance. They shot it down in the Sonoyta area. Again, Edward Dimitrik, director. Spencer Tracy, Robert Wagner, Gene Peters, Richard Widmark, Hugh O'Brien, E.G. Marshall, Katie Geraldo, one of my favorite beautiful women. And it's about this father and his three sons. It's kind of a Western King Lear. If you haven't seen it, you should see it, because I'll tell you, it is a very deep movie, but very fast moving and very, very much fun to watch.
Very cool.
I love it.
Great job. And you said it was filmed down in Sonoyta?
In the Sonoyta area, yeah.
I'm looking at the little trailer that popped up on IMDb, and I know exactly that area that it's in. That's wild. Well,
The Circle Z Ranch, if I remember right, that was the exterior for the Cattle Baron's Ranch.
You the man, Bunker, as always. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you, guys. And, as long as I know, I'll sneak in there.
Keep sneaking. We love it.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Later, buddy. You know, have we ever done, and he kind of brought up when he talked about what's greatest it? American actor.
Richard Widmark.
Have we ever done the top 10 actresses and top 10 actors of all time list?
No.
That's your next couple of homework assignments.
Okay.
All right.
Can do it.
Nine more to go.